Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
That when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof, and he wrote upon it, "In memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives and our children." And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof, and he fastened on his headplate, and his breastplate, and his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which had on the end thereof rent his coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land.
Thou callest, I gladly obey. Only direct me, and I'll find thy way. Teach me the mission appointed for me. What is my labor, and where is it shall be? Master, thou callest, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here am I. My Savior, to take up the cross, willing to suffer reproaches and loss, willing to follow if thou wilt but lead. Only support me with grace in my need. Master, thou callest, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here am I. Living and dying, I still would be thine. Yet I am mortal, while thou art divine. Warn me whenever I turn from the right. Pity and bring me again to thy light. Master,
I can put in words. I appreciate very much the special tonight. I appreciate having Brother Frank as being up here with me. I noticed last night that our brother was introduced as a retired school teacher. Well, you got another one tonight to listen to also. I'm honored to be asked to come before you. I've seen many changes come, changes in faces, changes in many things. And I was thinking, having been raised up from babyhood, I started to say in this room, and yet I guess I could say that really, because this room is the same space that the old church had, that the Lord removed so that we could grow. And I'm wondering how long it's going to be until we're going to have to grow again. And then what are we going to do? How is it going to be brought about? But I'm not worried about it, because I know that the Lord can accomplish His purposes. And I am grateful that I have seen the growth over the years that I've been in this room. It has caused my heart to rejoice more than I can express. It was 81 years ago that I came to Sunday school and found that there were three young people going to be baptized that afternoon. And when I went home, I said to my mother, I want to be baptized too. Because I realized that I needed to be baptized. And so she quizzed me and satisfied herself that I knew what I was doing And so I was included in the group of young people who were to go down into the waters that afternoon. It was the second day of January, 1921. And you can't see now, but if you could look out the window there, you'd see where I was baptized. We were baptized. We borrowed the use of the baptismal font in the stone church. I always felt it was the basement, but I was corrected a number of times that that's not a basement. It's the dining room. And so, anyway, the baptismal font was in the middle of the floor. We all gathered around there, and I, being the youngest of the group that were baptized, I was taken into the water first. It wasn't heated, and I was frightened by all that water because I had come near drowning in Farm Pond once before. I was scolded a bit by my brother Clarence Wheaton, who was performing the baptism, and I straightened up as best I could, was taken into the water and was brought out, had a blanket thrown around me, and stood there while the rest of the group had their turn. Sometime during that period, and I'm not sure just when, I heard the most beautiful singing that I had ever heard in my life. It thrilled my soul from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. It brought a joy I never knew before. And each time after that, when I thought of that song, I felt that same wonderful spirit causing my body to thrill. Because of circumstances, my mother and father and family moved out to South Central Kansas. And one day I got to thinking about that song and I said, "Mama, what was that song that you all sang when I was baptized?" And she said, "Son, we sang several songs. How did it go?" And I hummed that song to my mother. And she looked at me in amazement. She said, "Son, I never heard that song in my life." I said, "How could you all have sung it?" And my mother was a good singer. That's where Janice got part of her ability. And she inquired around among those that had been there. Nobody heard it. I was puzzled. When I was 17 years old and getting well through high school, I decided it was time for me to read the Book of Mormon. And I read it all the way through, as fast as I could read it. Excuse me. And when I read it, I found out why my mother never heard that song. Neither did the rest of the people that were there. That was a testimony to me that my baptism was accepted of God. And brothers and sisters, when I think of that song even today, I have that same feeling go all the way through me. We all need a testimony that this work is true. And I hope each one of you here that are old enough to be members of this church have that same spirit of joy to fill your soul that will strengthen you and carry you through the trials and the tribulations that this life has to offer. We must go through them. And it's my hope and my prayer that if there's anyone who has gone through the waters of baptism and has not the evidence given to them according to their need, that they will seek that it might be theirs to enjoy. Carried me through many problems, through many trials, through many tribulations. It has carried me through the war. And I might just offer a testimony. I don't want to be taken that, how shall I put it? I want it only as a testimony and thanksgiving to God. And it was this. While I was in the service of my country, and many of you too were there, wherever it might have been, and when we would be sent from one assignment to a new assignment, they always threw a party. And they came around to me and said, "Denham, what are you drinking?" And I said, "Do you have any 7-Up? "Yes." "All right, I'd like to have some 7-Up. And in this one instance, the commander came around and he saw that Denham was drinking 7-Up. So he got some of my buddies off to the side and said, "What's the matter with Denham? He's drinking 7-Up. And my buddy said, "Denham doesn't drink. And Denham doesn't swear. And Denham doesn't smoke." I said, "What a man." The next morning, when I reported for flight duty, that commander came over and said, "Denham, you're flying with me today." I said, "Yes, sir." He took me up and he put me through everything that was possible. And of course, I enjoyed it. And then he said, "Denham, take over." "Yes, sir." And then he reached down and turned the engine off. And he said, "Denham, what are you going to do?" And I made a quick look and I said, "I'm going to sit down in that field right there." "We'll do it." So I headed for it. And just as I was ready to put her on the ground, he said, "I'll take it." And he reached down and turned the switch on and we went on back home. He never said a word. I'm grateful. That we can be outstanding by just being quietly ourselves. We don't have to put a sign up. Just act as we ought to act, and we shine. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad to have been able to see the progress that I have seen throughout my lifetime in this church. It thrills my soul that I can look into your faces as my brothers and my sisters in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I could make a trip. Yes, several of them, with Brother Glenn, up in Saskatchewan, and meet new brothers and sisters up there, and find that they love us. They're a part of us. They need your prayers and mine. I'm glad that I could go down the east side of the Mississippi River with my brother Mike and come back up through the mountains and meet more of my brothers and my sisters who have come into the church and have swelled our ranks. It has caused me to rejoice within my heart and look back and think of the hopes that my grandfather George P. Frisbee had when he led the 12 families across the Missouri River when they were afraid to come. His wife and his 5 children, and his wife was expecting the arrival of the 6th one, and he loaded them in the wagon and said, "The Lord has told us to come, and we've come, and this river is all we have to cross." You know the story, or I presume you do. Get your history, outline history, and look at it. If you don't know the story, the ice was beginning to melt in the spring, and they had to cross the ice. They had to cross because there were no bridges. That's the reason they came in February of that year. God has watched out for his children, and he is still watching out for us. And I'm thrilled to know that he has, in my lifetime, begun to reach out to the nations of the world, that we have a Church of Christ, or several, on that far land of Africa, that we have a Church of Christ or two or more in the far reaches of the Pacific. Because he said, "This gospel shall go to all the world, and then shall the end come." And I'm convinced that the time is near. Oh yes, the day or the hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but God himself. And I'm of the opinion that we're seeing the signs that tell us the time is close. when Christ shall come. Are we ready? What must we do to get ready? Jesus said, keep my commandments. We know what they are, and I don't know that it would be of any value for me to go through and read any of these commandments, because we know what they are. But I want to take a little time to bring to our attention a commandment that was given to Israel of old, and it still applies to you and me. And let me read it. Now, I'm not striking at anyone by reading this passage of Scripture, and I hope no one will take any offense. But I've always been taught that if the shoe fits, wear it. And if it doesn't fit, don't worry about it. And I would like to read from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, if you want to follow along with me. I'll be glad to have you. Starting with verse 8. A lot of you know what I'm going to read already. But I couldn't read anything new if I wanted to, because you know it all. Sometimes we forget it, but we have to be reminded once in a while. And it says here, beginning in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of Malachi, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." As I said a while ago, I'm not throwing this at anybody. I'm simply stating what's written, put there by our Heavenly Father. And if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, don't put it on. I'm not saying anybody's robbed God. The question is, will a man rob God? Well, let's see what robbing is. Let's go on. "Ye are cursed with a curse, and ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." You want a blessing? Sure you do. So do I. And if I don't have them, I'm in trouble. And I have the idea in my mind that you're not any different than I am. If you're in trouble, you want to get out of it. "I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Do we need those blessings? Yes, we do. We need not only the blessings to pay our bills, we need the blessings of health. We need many blessings, don't we? And God has promised that if we will do what He has asked us to do, those blessings will come, and you can be sure of it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I don't know how many farmers we have here, but this applies especially to farmers. I was a farm boy myself. And this was very plain to me. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Get a full crop. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. We need those things, don't we? Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? I don't know that you've said that. But some did. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yes, we've seen that, haven't we? All we have to do is to read the daily paper, and we see it all over the place. Now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord, and I hope that's every one of us, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and that's what we do every time we come to prayer meeting, or we should. We should tell each other, should we not, of the blessings that God is pouring out upon us, even if they're just little blessings. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And you're here tonight, and your name is written in that book. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And that's what you and I are striving for every day, isn't it? Every day. And it's a fight sometimes. And sometimes we forget, don't we? I let that slip, didn't I? Ever do that? Why, of course you've done that. We've all done that. I didn't mean to do that. Well, how come I did it? Because we have an adversary who's going to force us, if he possibly can, to do something that God wants us not to do. Human nature. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And you and I want to be sure we're on that side of serving God, don't we? Brothers and sisters, we're in a warfare. Well, sure, we're in a war. That's the reason we're here. We know that. I'm not telling you anything new. I didn't expect to tell you anything new, because how many times have we heard these things? But we have to be reminded from time to time, and that's the reason the Lord has us meet together oft to pray one for another and to sustain, strengthen, encourage one another to hold fast to the rod of iron that leads to the tree of life. There's the rod of iron. You know, I'm so thrilled. I'm sure you've all seen that timeline that the young people have created and strung out along the wall. I think it was taken down this afternoon, wasn't it? I see they gave me credit for inspiring them to do it. Well, I suggested it. I didn't know I inspired them, but then I'm sure glad they did it. And I think they did a wonderful job. And I think that it has helped them to see more fully, and I hope it's helped the rest of us to see more fully the complete work that God has given to us to do, to carry this gospel, the knowledge of it, as far as we can. Now, I know that we can't make everybody see things our way. I've got some neighbors, and I'm sure that I can't get them to see everything like I see it. But I'm wondering sometimes, can we do better? You know, there's another thing that comes to me. I'm not sure where I can find it right now, but I'm not going to worry about finding it. We as a people in the United States of America are slipping, and we all know it. Our nation was formed on the basis of believing and serving God, and we're up against a situation today that we all have to bump into from time to time of anti-God. And that movement, brothers and sisters, is moving with great rapidity. My mailbox is flooded almost daily with propaganda telling what is going on, and it's frightening. I hope you won't misunderstand me. But I find in God's Word, and some of Latter-day Revelation given to the church following 1830, about gathering. I'm glad that in 1864, when a group of my relatives and the relatives of some of the rest of you were in Ohio, in Indiana, Illinois, and were thinking about this spot that we're on tonight. And they were told, and we have to stop to realize that the war between the states was on until 1865, and this was in 1864, they were told, prepare against the year 1867 to return to Missouri, to independence. 12 families responded. 12 families came down here. They got out here to the river. They came in February because that's the only that they had to cross on the ice because there weren't any bridges. And they saw that the ice had begun to, well, the weather had moderated. The ice had begun to soften on top. That river, I don't know how many of you are aware, but that river had an awful reputation. It is said that there is a wreck, boat wreck. And you remember, if you studied your early history, that it was a boat line. That is, boats went up and down the Missouri River quite often. And if you want to, while you're here, some of you would like to go over to Kansas City, you can see where they have brought up one of those boats. And all the freight that was on it is exhibited down there in Kansas City near the river. I can't tell you just now. Somebody can tell you where to go if you'd like to go see it. It would be worth your while. They tell us that there is a boat wreck on that river, one for each mile from the mouth of the river, which is just above St. Louis, to St. Joseph. That's a lot of mileage. And that there is a boat wreck for every mile. Now, that doesn't mean at every mile, because some of them are pretty close together. So you see, that river was a dangerous river. And when they got there and the ice was softening up on top, the question was, is it safe for me to take my family in the wagon and go across that ice? And everybody said, not me, but my grandpa said the Lord told us to come and he'd open up the way, and here we are, and that river is the only thing between us and the land of promise. I'm going. He had a wife and 5 children, and another one on the way. He loaded them in that wagon and started out across the ice. And the ice was soft enough on top to leave the tracks from the wheels. But they made it. The other 11 followed them one at a time, and they made it. And you and I are here because they came. I'm concerned about the gathering. Being a member of the bishopric, I'm very concerned. I believe that the time is coming when, if we're not gathered here, we're going to suffer. I think we need to think about it, brothers and sisters. Because the Lord is going to look after those who obey Him. And He said, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? But ye would not. Ye would not. Now I know that somebody's liable to feel like I'm picking. I don't want you to feel that way. That's not it at all. Brothers and sisters, I want to see the Lord's work accomplished. I say I want to see it. I don't have much time left to see it. I might tell you this, and I don't mean this to be comical. It's far from comical. I gave up my precious wife November the 5th. She'd been my companion for 68 years. The nurse came to me and said, she's fighting. Another nurse came to me a little later, male nurse this time, and he said, after he checked her over, he called me out in the hall. And he said, why don't you go in there and talk to her? She can hear you. She understands what you're saying. Tell her it's all right if she goes. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to give her up. But I remembered of my mother saying that needed to be done one time. And I thought, if it needs to be done, why should I insist that she hang on to that little thread when she's so tired? It took courage. I'd held her hand all night long. This was 5:30 in the morning. So I took her hand and I said, honey, I know you're awful tired. And if you feel like you need to go, you go on. And just remember this, I won't be very far behind you. I'm still here. I want to do all I can for the glory of God and for the benefit of my brothers and my sisters, you. And when I can no longer be of benefit to you and of glory to God, I want to go. Brothers and sisters, I am grateful unto you for your kindness to me. And my family, through the many years that you've been my brothers and my sisters. And may God bless you and keep you. And may we grow in grace and in knowledge and the understanding of what God would have us to do, and do it, is my prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Nicholas, for a fitting sermon for our last sermon. We are finished with our conference. And there are many of you who made this conference enjoyable, made it possible. And I wish to thank the ones who prepared the food. For you who cleaned up afterwards, thank you. For you who cleaned the building and swept the floors and scrubbed the floors, thank you. For you who conducted yourself in a Christian-like manner during our business meetings, I thank you. For you who shared your musical talents, I thank you. And I thank Brother Mosier and Brother Brantner for not sharing their musical talents. I do thank you all. It has been an enjoyable conference. I believe that we have accomplished much. I believe the Lord has been pleased with our efforts. We're going to use number 64 to close. But Kathy Clark called and asked us to remember her brother David Jensen. He's sick with the chemo treatments that he's taking, and he needs our prayers. So please, as we remember all of those who have been administered to during this conference, to those who have brought their names to us, let's not just remember them tonight or during this conference. Let's take those names home with us and continue to remember them in prayer. Number 64. Father, we come before you at the end of this conference and the end of this evening, thanking you so very much for your Spirit that you have bestowed upon each one of us. Thanking you for the presence that we have felt. Thanking you, O Heavenly Father, for just being with us as we endeavor to do thy will. Father, we place before you the name of our brother David Jensen. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that you would reach down and that you would touch him, and that you would give him peace and comfort, that you would help him, that you would remove the sickness from him associated with the chemotherapy. But Father, we ask a healing in his behalf. And we know that this is possible with you. And we pray for all those who were administered to during this conference. We pray for those whose names were brought before us to remember. We know that their needs are many. But we also know, Heavenly Father, that thou art all-knowing and able to reach and touch each and every soul that stands in need. So, Father, bless them. Now, Father, we would ask that you would go with each one of us as we go our separate ways. Protect us as we return to our homes. Continue to guide and direct our lives. Continue to touch us and be with us. So, Heavenly Father, now we ask your dismissal in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.